Well, global markets are looking mixed, with US markets only just in positive territory. European markets, however, appear to have had a positive end, with key bourses there up over 0.5%. The All-Share Index closed up 1.3% at 54,715 index points. The local currency, unfortunately, is on the back foot. It's currently trading at around 15.14 against the US dollar, 16.65 against the euro, and 18.67 against the British pound. Well, to break down what's what in the markets for us, I'm joined in studio by Gary Boyson. He's from Rand Swiss. Thanks very much, Gary.
Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. A very mixed picture in terms of the global picture, with European markets seem to be firing ahead, but the US only just in positive territory. Just give us a sense of the drivers.
Yeah, so we've got to remember that the US had a huge day up on Friday. After last week, we got some poor manufacturing numbers out across the globe, and I think people are starting to really become concerned over what these potential trade barriers are going to do to global growth, and markets sold off. We had non-farm payroll numbers coming out on Friday, which were actually just perfect. So they were bad enough, if you look at the labor force participation rate, that they encouraged people to believe that the U.S. Federal Reserve was going to cut interest rates further, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. We currently have a 73% chance that we'll get an interest rate in the next meeting. Interest rate cut, that is, in the next meeting.
Yes.
But they weren't so good to discourage that, but they weren't so bad as to worry that the U.S. economy is slowing down, because they still have unemployment at 3.5%, which is unbelievable. And then obviously with that big run up that we saw on Friday, seeing a kind of a middling market today, seems to be reasonable. We also have Asia out of the market at the moment. It's the last day of the Golden Week holiday, so we've got a little bit low volumes in Asia, but overall I think people settled by that number.
Let's focus a little bit on that non-farm payroll number. There has been a debate in the United States around the United States and the quality of jobs that are being created in that economy, especially because you can only have expansion job-wise up to a certain point before there's a plateau. So what's the kind of quality of jobs that are being created there?
Certainly, it seems that if you go into the numbers, that the quality of jobs is improving. So many of the when you look at the strict definition of unemployment, it's people that are still seeking work as well. So it doesn't include the numbers of people that are discouraged. And according to the Fed on Friday, they are seeing more and more people coming into the market that have previously been almost unemployable. So they see that the training and that aspect of the labor market in the U.S. is improving. There is still some slack in the wage growth, though. So it's really while you've got a very good unemployment rate, we're not seeing wages in the U.S. Increase quite as quickly as people were hoping. So we saw that up 2.9%, where we had estimates of about 3.2%. So that's slightly missed expectations. So you're getting almost a broader base, but not as many raises if you're U.S. citizens. We are still seeing while the manufacturing numbers have been under pressure, we are still seeing a very, very strong U.S. consumer. If you look at kind of consumer-driven sales, retail sales. So it seems that the U.S. economy is still doing very well, and there are more people being employed, just not getting as much money as they would otherwise.
So you say that the news was positive enough for markets to believe that there's going to be a further cut by the Federal Reserve. But then on the other hand, maybe part of the reason why we're seeing markets subdued in the United States is because China didn't sing the right type of song around the trade talks today.
Certainly, trade talks are a big concern. So, we've essentially got two meetings of the Federal Reserve left for the year. Like I said, a 73% chance if you look at federal funds futures, which is essentially a market where you bet on whether they're going to cut or not, essentially. Mm-hmm. So if not in October, it looks like we will get a cut by December. Absolutely, that just takes care of the monetary policy side of the equation. You've got to look at the actual, real economy as well, and the more the fiscal side of the equation. And certainly there's a lot of concern about trade talks. So we've got the U.S. meeting China again today, again this week. And we seem to have seen a hardening of the Chinese position. And that is a huge concern to markets, because the U.S. has gone in fairly, if you listen to the U.S. economic advisors, they've gone in with, the same I suppose, issues that they've had all along, the protection of, intellectual property, manipulation of the currency, etc. But they have said that they are optimistic that they will find some sort of a deal. And the market seems to have read that the U.S. is very keen to make a deal, whereas China, not so much. They've been focused on other things like Golden Week. But we hope, overall, that the fact that they are talking and that the negotiations will resume, that this will be positive for certainly for equity markets. Mm. We hope that some sort of a agreement can be realized.
And then our local market, we did very well today with pretty much all sectors up. Gold mining counters up a whopping 4.7%, but that doesn't mirror what happened with the gold price, which is down today and is trading just under $1,500 a barrel. An ounce, pardon me.
An ounce. I wish I had a barrel of gold. if you look at the gold miners, again, there's all the operating leverage in gold miners, and the gold price is sitting, significantly higher than where it was, a couple of years ago. So, when you see our gold miners, especially that have cut costs so aggressively, and they have a very low what they call AISC, which is like their all-in sustaining cost, it suddenly gives them, when you see the gold price moving up, they manage to generate supernormal profits, essentially. And I think that's why you sometimes do see a more exaggeration these days, especially, you didn't kind of see the kind of volatility in years previously when they were underwater. But now you see a lot more volatility in the gold counters as they become a more popular trading product for clients as well. Looking at the currency, as you said, was a little bit weaker. That would have supported the gold miners as well. So we kind of made an attempt on that 15 rand to the dollar level towards the end of last week, and weakened quite substantially today. But again, I think this is mainly coming from international factors. It's really the dollar strength that we're seeing as optimism returns, and that's helping to pull us down on a relative basis. But overall, it was a positive market. We saw a lot of the commodity counters running as well, so it wasn't just the gold counters. We saw the likes of Sasol up significantly. We had a lot of the the likes of Billiton and Anglo Gold, at least Anglo American as well, also moving up sharply, up over 1%. So yes. looking fairly good, or if we look fairly robust.
Yes.
Something South Africans are not used to seeing on the market.
Indeed. You know what happens sometimes, other headlines overshadow things that are happening. You touched on Sasol, but what's the feeling around Sasol? Because in weeks past, concerns have been raised about their Lake Charles investment, their valuation, the fact that so much value has been lost on that particular stock. Do you still have faith in Sasol?
Yeah, so I suppose it's not about faith. It's also about, it is about faith, but it's it's also about, is the bad news that we've had from the Lake Charles project now priced into the share? So if I was considering buying ordinary shares at this level, I mean, we've seen a significant, revaluation of the ordinary shares based on the cost overruns.
Where's the price now?
It's currently, so close today at 268.52, which is, I remember trading Sasol at 600. this company, if you're looking at purely at a share price, it's a fraction of the company it used to be. And I don't even know if you can still call it that kind of solid blue chip that most South Africans would have considered it, let's say 10 years ago. But again, we had the oil price up slightly today. Again, that's on expectations of more robust global growth. Rising oil price does tend to help Sasol as well. And at Sasol, essentially Sasol has moved out. I mean, while it still has a lot of operations in South Africa, it's moved out of South Africa. The majority of the risk that you're taking on in Sasol is now external, which it seems like a right idea when you have this huge pessimism in South Africa. But I mean, as we saw today with the likes of Clicks, which was up, 13.54%, so up significantly. Some companies that are focusing on the South African market are getting it right. And it's not just about fleeing with the capital and going and investing in giant chemicals projects in Louisiana.
Let's focus on Clicks. What were they saying? It was a trading update. They're expecting decent earnings, are they?
They are expecting decent earnings. So if you look at Clicks, like I said, up 13%, over 13% today. And this is on the back of it's just a trading statement. So not a lot of detail from the company. But, in their last results, which were released mid-April, they were saying they expected headline earnings per share to rise between 10 and 15%. They just increased that forecast today. So they're now expecting earnings to increase between 15 and 18%, which is significant. It's not just going to be topside of the range, it's going to be even higher than that. I mean, to have high double-digit earnings growth from someone like Clicks is absolutely outstanding. They've said that they just have seen stronger retail performance. So we were talking about it a little bit before the segment about the lipstick index. So
that's right.
You know, if you look at often the kinds of products that a retailer like Clicks sells, they're far more sensitive to economic downturns, if you want to put it that way. And actually, the lipstick index came from Estee Lauder years ago, where they said it should be an economic indicator, because every time lipstick sales increase, it's generally in a period of economic trouble. But if you look at a business like Clicks that has that very defensive pharmacy retail environment, I would say that it's a business that performs very, very well. It's very, very defensive. They obviously have their UPD business as well, which has been gaining distribution contracts. That's also helped to propel the earnings higher. But it's wonderful to see a company like Clicks now starting to fire and the market starting to reward it. And hopefully encourage some of those international investors back into our market, because our retail sector used to be very, very foreign held. And we've seen a lot of selling in the last couple of years. And hopefully if we continue to deliver good results, they'll start to see value in South Africa.
Let's see, and let's hope so. Thanks very much, Gary, for your time. As always, Gary Boyson, he's from RandSwiss.